Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 785, Funeral for a Friend. For my classic rock peeps.
Oh.
They'll get that.
Good.
Well, it was not a comic book reference.
I was like, oh.
I didn't get that one, so.
I went with the comic book reference.
Look it up later.
Elton John has a very long song, a great song, one of my favorites from him. And it's like in two parts, and it opens with this really long, just instrumental piano thing called Funeral for a Friend, and then slash, it rolls into a song called,
I don't know.
I'm Still Standing?
Love Lies Bleeding.
Oh.
Well done.
So
I couldn't remember. I knew that existed, but I couldn't remember what it went into. That's fine. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
But yeah.
Good job.
So anyway, I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, TuneIn, YouTube. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review because our egos are fragile.
It would be nice if we could get some new ones that weren't one-star reviews.
They're woke.
It always makes me... first of all, at this point, I just don't give a shit. It's been over 10 years. We have hundreds, if not thousands of reviews, whatever. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But when someone listens to one episode out of 800,
right,
and they don't like what you say on one episode and gives your show one star out of five or half a star out of five, it's like, I don't think that's what the ratings are for.
Oh, I disagree. Apparently, that's what everybody thinks the ratings are for.
Right, but it's just like, I look at that, and like, how do you even give that? That's so clearly...
Yeah, also, how dare you spoil Dune 3?
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Right.
I listen to the episode.
Especially when twice, before I give spoilers, I go, spoilers.
Right.
I say it before
but
the
also,
thing.
But also, how old is that book?
50.
Like 50
you don't
years.
Get you get a pass on that.
The whole point
it's like
was
spoiling the end of Citizen Kane.
Yeah,
like,
the whole point was I was trying to... talk about the influences that Dune has had on other popular culture,
right,
and then theorize where the third movie will go, and the second movie takes such a split from the book that I was trying to theorize what direction they would go, so I had to talk about what direction they did go.
Sure.
To talk
no,
about
hey,
the
look,
differences.
Look, man, I fully support what you did. I don't think it is not that
no,
big
and
deal.
That's what I'm saying. I don't really care, but I do think it's funny when someone gives your entire podcast, they're not rating the episode. No, you've listened to one podcast and disagreed with what they said, so their show now is a 0.5 out of 5 stars.
What you don't know is he listened to all 800 episodes.
Oh, he made an informed decision? Oh, well, that's good.
I have no doubt.
Oh, well, then in that case, then you're totally valid. Thank you for your...
Now we're going to get another 1-star review.
I know.
We're going to talk bad about Elvis. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Right? The Elvis people didn't even review the show poorly. Because
they found it all on on YouTube.
They didn't know how to work the podcast.
They don't know. Because at that age.
Yeah, you just hit play and hope for the best.
Oh, gosh. Criminal. Criminal. Your Dune episode was criminal. Yeah.
We could really only get like one bad review out of it, though, because they're using a shared account.
That's
a nursing
correct.
Home,
yeah,
so.
Right.
So fans of the show, if you're curious, go to iTunes to find that review. And while you're there,
it's the Priscilla review, not the Elvis review. It's the Priscilla review.
Oh, right. But that's YouTube, though. While you're on iTunes.
Oh, yes.
Go check out that Dune review and leave us a nice 5-star review if you like the show.
Counteract that jerkwad.
Yes. Also, don't forget, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. So while you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Sharers because we are hoping you will share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week include Librarian Cynthia, Chris Falls, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts, Travis Tewitt, Ralph Tribble, Phil Timon, Tom Dowdy, Chris Magic Man, Richard Kratzer, Gabriel Lugo, Heather Sachs, Binge Movies, Ronnie Castle, Colby Mack, The Kryptonian Orphan, Ryan Terry, NostalgiaCast, Geek to Me Radio, Matt Neglia, and In Session Film. So thank you very much for sharing an episode. We greatly appreciate it. And finally, don't forget our Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content, and we like you extra. And we were chatting so long before we recorded this episode that we're probably going to pull it out and make it a bonus
good.
Episode.
Yeah,
the tape was rolling, so I will be making a glorious return.
That's outstanding.
That's right.
Patreon for Real Spoilers. And
congratulations.
And you won't have to be subjected to Matt Bassler.
That's fair.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So there's all that. Love Lies Bleeding. Let's dig in.
So I loved this movie.
Yeah,
I thought
great.
It was great.
It was great.
I liked it a lot.
That's okay.
I fall a little short of loving it.
That ending messed me up.
The end, because I was just like, we're doing what now?
Yep.
Like, and that's going to be very polarizing.
You know, this is an A24 movie, right?
Absolutely.
As soon as she's on stage, I go, oh, there it is, A24 movie.
I can accept that thing because, and we'll get into it, but I can accept why that
that's
happened.
The same kind of thing.
The ending sequence where she turns into the Hulk is not the same.
And not just the Hulk, but like giant.
Yeah, right? Ang Lee Hulk.
But neither of them happened. That's the whole point.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's an artsy thing. And
I get that.
It's A24, so, you know, when she throws up on stage. But that's the first moment where I'm like, this isn't really too A24-ish. You know what I mean? It's got the look. It's got a little bit of the vibes, but not too weird, right?
Yeah.
And then the thing on stage happens, and I go, there it is.
Although they're famously supposed to be trying to, like, rein in their movies to make them more mainstream.
Okay.
That they're trying to get a little bit more.
Why?
I think because they saw how much money Everything Everywhere All at Once made.
Yeah, but that was weird. That was really
But I
weird.
Think they're trying to, like, dial it in to be like, let's be weird enough to be different, but not so weird that people don't want to go see
it. Yeah, I think it's a mistake. That's the beginning of the end.
That's
because
lean into what you're doing, and it's working.
It's like, making, it's separating them from everyone.
Exactly,
and I know
right.
that they now people sometimes kind of goof on people with the A24 thing, but, like, as soon as they just become another art house, you know what I mean?
Once you start cranking out generic stuff,
then you're not going to get the crowd that likes them for their weird A24.
It's the Blumhouse problem.
The
same thing.
I'm with you on that one, and I've been saying that since before that, because I think they've been making some stinkers, and I'm like, they just can't keep doing this.
I mean, I think those three Halloween movies made a boatload of money and was
with
able
diminishing
to,
returns,
but still with diminishing returns, they were still making a lot of
money.
But
they did The Exorcist Believer.
They did.
And they did this, and they've done some other ones that are crap. And it's like, the Blumhouse name is not going to mean, like the A24 name means something.
Yeah.
If Blumhouse keeps just putting out generic horror crap and it's not very good, it's just going to be
another studio.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. But this is the movie that the Coen brothers won.
Yeah, I was like,
this is what they wanted to be.
This is, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. I was like, this is what happens when someone from this world make, you know what I mean? Like,
well, and this movie kind of reminded me of Blood Simple. It had
the exact same thing. Yeah,
the vibes, the whole noir kind of crime aspect going on with
kinda
the gun smuggling, but then also a little weird or whatever. I'm like, this feels like early Coen brothers.
Yeah. I felt, yes.
Whereas Driveway Dolls did not feel like
current. Felt like latter Coen
or the bad parts of the Coen right. Brother movies, you know?
And,
I thought this was like Blood Simple meets Bound.
Yeah. Oh, great call.
Yeah.
That's spot on. Yeah.
So this is directed by Rose Glass. This is her second feature. She directed Saint Maud.
Is a weird movie.
I liked Saint Maud. I didn't love it. I liked this a lot more than Saint Maud. Yes. I'm not saying I didn't like it, but Saint Maud didn't quite. Everyone was so overhyped Saint Maud.
Of course.
So when I watched it, and I'm just like,
it's a very, very good psychological horror.
It's good
flick.
For sure.
Absolutely.
But this one, I mean, I was invested start to finish. They hit the ground running.
This was the first like movie of the year that I was like, I cannot wait to see this movie. Like I was super intrigued into this movie and I was not disappointed
at all. And this has nothing to do with the movie, but I wish I didn't see it at crappy AMC theater because that projector was so dim.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And it's not the movie. I went home and watched the trailer because I knew I didn't
want
to.
It's a little dark, but not.
It's a little dark, but our theater, did yours?
Creepcore?
Yeah.
So, okay. So here's my experience with this movie.
Okay.
I went to the screening that was at AMC theater.
At Creepcore?
So that was at the Esquire.
Okay.
And I sat there for an hour. And the movie still hadn't started.
God.
And I finally just got him walked out. And
did they say anything?
They were like,
please don't leave.
15 minutes after it was supposed to start, they said, give us 10 or 15 more minutes. And then finally, I was just like,
this. I wonder if they canceled it. Sometimes then they just cancel it.
I don't know. But I left it at 8 o'clock when it was supposed to start at 7.
Dang.
And I just walked out. I didn't
even get popcorn reimbursement.
I didn't. But I didn't buy any popcorn because I would have asked for it.
Right?
Because I'd have been like, I only bought the popcorn because you were going to show me a movie.
I did that at some big movie and I bought a popcorn and then the movie got canceled and I'm like, but I just bought $10 popcorn. I mean, I didn't do anything about it, but I was like, well, this.
But there
sucks.
There was nobody that like from whatever company that is that was like, hey, like. That's tried to stop you?
No, I just walked out.
That's bonkers.
Yeah, and which is why this is why I don't go to screenings anymore.
Sure.
So it's this is not the first time it's happened to me. So then I bought tickets to see it the next day on the Thursday when it opened at a different AMC, the Creepcore, and it's like in Theater 11, and I get there and we got there like we get there late because we know they're going to show 30 minutes of trailers.
And the guy was jacking it in the theater, and he couldn't, and it shut down the whole thing.
Crazy, dude. But, that's crazy.
So we get there, and then they're like, oh, you're not in Theater 11. You're in Theater 3.
Did someone complain? And so I had to sit through the whole movie because I was in Theater 11, and you couldn't see the movie. And I mean, I just
are you going to chicken noise yourself?
I don't have to do that. That's only for you. So, but it made me so frustrated because I knew it wasn't the movie.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, jeez.
So,
but it sucked. I'm just saying, my experience
so
sucked.
We go into Theater 3, but they're like, your seats are the same. Okay. So
sure.
We go into Theater 3.
Is it built the same?
And those seats don't exist.
No, they. So we go into Theater 3. And it did not seem built the same, but I guess it was going to map out.
Okay. Right.
So we go in there, and at this point, it was supposed to start at 6:40. At this point, it's 6:50. I walk in, and there's nothing on the screen.
Mm.
So I immediately get up and, like, because I was going to pee.
Sure.
And I was like, I'm immediately get up, and before I even pee, I go to the front, and I'm like, hey, there's nothing playing on there, and this movie was supposed to start 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, we don't even have trailers or Maria Mentos over there.
You get to play
us
the space game and get your points.
And I was like, there's nothing on the screen.
You are making my case for the Draft House. Yeah. We're saying it here, Draft House. You can
feel
free to sponsor an episode.
You know what I was going to say? My line was going to be, this is what I get. I get what I deserve for not going to Alamo.
So then I tell her that. She immediately gets on her little radio thing. Like she's in the Secret Service. She's you know, and so then I go and pee and I get done and I go into the theater. I go back to Theater 3 and nobody's in there.
Were there people there before?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it was a very crowded screening.
Then got and moved them since
you got
there.
I was like, nobody's in there. And I walk back out.
Where was Crystal?
And so Crystal had like, they had ushered them and she, I guess, hadn't sat back down to text me yet.
Oh.
And so then I go back to the front and then they're like, oh, yeah, we were having issues, so we moved it.
Is it back at 11?
To Theater 11. Oh. I was like, what have we accomplished here? Wow.
So you had to see it on the dim screen, too. Yes. They didn't fix it. Oh, it was a bummer. I was sitting there the entire time going, why didn't I just go to Alamo? Why? You know, it was just a little it worked out so the time, and it was a little closer.
It is tough. Like, so
Alamo was sold out. I couldn't go to Alamo. That is why I went to Creve Coeur that night, because Thursday was sold out. Alamo app sold
This is
out.
What I have noticed about that place.
My theater was very crowded.
Yes. Yeah. So what I have noticed about too. The Draft House is... for the big stuff, you know, like the big tentpole stuff, doesn't really sell out.
Right.
Yeah. But for the house, little stuff, every single time.
Well, and there's fewer screens for
They put them in the smaller theaters.
Smaller theater, yeah.
But every single time.
So that was a bummer because they were sold out and I couldn't see it Friday and I was available Thursday. So I did the thing where I'm like, I'm not, you know, shooting myself in the foot and then rushing around trying to figure it out. I'll see it Thursday at Creve Coeur. And yeah, it's a bummer because that theater, the sound was good, but the screen, they had it so dim that I just got used to it. I still liked the movie a lot, but the whole time I'm just going, this projection sucks.
It's just crazy to me that like big chains like cannot figure it out
because it's automated. There's no projectionist.
It's purposeful.
What do you mean?
Because if they run those not running their bulbs at the right brightness
to save
because if you run your bulb at full brightness, you're going to burn through it twice as fast.
That's fair.
They kill the brightness on the bulb because they know on most movies it won't matter.
But for dark art house movies, if you don't have it up, then they're super dark. And I went back and watched the trailer and I'm like, I can see every image in this trailer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
it wasn't a choice.
It was a bummer, but the movie's so good though.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Let's get into the movie. Yeah.
Yes. So we've got Kristen Stewart, and I wish I could remember the
Lou.
Who played Lou. And then
Lou Jr. Her dad's called Lou too.
Oh, is that what it is?
So she's, I guess you could read into that. Maybe he wanted a boy, you know.
Ah, who knows?
He has two daughters.
I will tell you though. So Jenna Malone is in this as well as Kristen Stewart's sister.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize how much they looked alike already.
That's a good call. Yeah.
But like when I saw them looking at each other, I was like, oh, that's wild.
They went, sisters, sisters. They did the whole routine from White Christmas.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Did you know that what? Song from a musical?
I've seen White Christmas.
Okay, wow. Yeah. I looked at Tom specifically.
My grandmother was a big White Christmas fan at Christmas
Rosemary
time.
Clooney, George Clooney's aunt.
Lou runs this gym. And it's what I love about this movie is the gym of 2024 is not...
The gym of 24.
That's right. Of like 1980. I'm going to assume this is like mid-80s.
It's late 80s.
It's late 80s because the Berlin Wall comes down. So
that's right.
89,
that's right.
90.
Yes, that makes sense.
I was going to say they flashed a date at some point because I was watching it and you know it's a period piece, but then at some point
That's the simple that I like.
Yes.
Where it's like you don't need to see a number on the screen.
Right.
It's just context clues.
Yeah.
So,
but they do at one point because I saw the number. But it's hidden somewhere, you know. The big 1986.
I think hearing the Berlin Wall coming down is it's like in what was the second Jordan Peele movie, Us, where they reference Hands Across America,
right?
So you're like, oh, okay, I know when this is taking place. So the gym of 1989,
the guy also I'm surprised you didn't glob onto this one. He had referenced like having just seen Die Hard
he did say, so that's 89.
It's
87.
Yeah, is there a guy talking on the radio or something?
It's
is that 88
when Die Hard came out.
Is that what it is?
I think so. Okay. Yeah.
No, he's talking about how at the gun range, now that everybody has seen Die Hard, everybody wants to fire a Beretta.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, she runs this gym and it's just meatheads. Like that's all it is because everybody's obsessed with Arnold Schwarzenegger and how he looked and that's, you know.
And it's like in a garage, you know.
It's dingy
California
gym.
But it's this California.
Yeah.
But that's where someone like Arnold, some bodybuilders, they like to go to those little whatever.
The wood paneling.
That I'm sure was just gross.
Now the toilets need a little work.
That was also we just watched something where there was a scene where I was like, that was insanely gross. What did we just watch? Where
I'm glad the projector was so dim I could hardly see it, but you know it was gross.
Oh, it was Saltburn. With the tub.
Yeah.
Where I was like, God, that's so...
Trademark it.
Yeah, right. This was the same level of gross, where she's... The toilet is clogged.
I think this is way more gross, but that's just me.
I
couldn't see anything in the tub. It looked like he was just licking a drain.
It's the sound.
Yeah.
It was the sound effect that was the gross part.
And she doesn't, like, use a plunger. She goes in with her hand and pulls the thing out.
And I don't know what she's pulling out.
And they show it, but it looks like it's
gross.
Real. Yeah.
It's gross. And so we're introduced to Daisy as well, who... is a mess. That actress just killed that role in more ways than one.
Anne Brezhnikov or something?
Her last name was
Anna Brezhnikov, yeah.
Oh.
Anna Brezhnikov.
Any relation to the ballet guy? Isn't that a ballet guy?
Wasn't he Brezhnikov?
Yeah, she's the daughter of Latvian American ballet dancer and actor Mikhail Brezhnikov.
There you go. Lock it away.
Wow. We will never
question you on ballet again.
Thank you very much. And what I like about this character, about Lou, is she is the most unlikable protagonist I've seen in a long time.
Really?
But you're still kind of on board. She's not a great person.
I don't think she's bad.
I think she's like not nice to anyone until
she just looks at the world she lives in.
Yeah,
I told her who she is and where she's living, which I think is very interesting.
She just doesn't care, but I liked her. And there's something, Kristen Stewart really is mesmerizing. I don't know what it is about Kristen Stewart.
I don't know that I've ever done a 180 on an actress like I have Kristen Stewart.
Right?
Like,
oh, really?
I could not stand her.
Same.
Because of that stupid movie. It wasn't her fault.
Yeah, but even the other movies she did were really bad.
Like Adventureland?
Bad.
You didn't like her in that?
I guess that one was okay.
But she always, to me, she always played kind of like that. The way that, who does an impression of her? Is it Kate McKinnon? Does an impression of her that is insanely spot on, but it's like the exact opposite of Jennifer Lawrence, where Jennifer Lawrence is out, you know, loud and funny, and she's always kind of Kristen Stewart.
Look at you.
Yes, and, always kind of mousy and like kicking her hair out of her face.
But you know, that's because I think she's shy, you know,
I think
it kind of read as her being like snobby or something.
It felt
but
very performative.
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
I agree. Yeah. And maybe it's not.
But I think she really is just kind of shy because when you watch her on talk shows, she is kind of just timid, even though she's a superstar and has been in all these movies. But she is really down to earth and kind of nervous seeming, not in a bad way, but like a real person.
It is interesting to see that both of them, her and Pattinson, were
isn't
able,
that great that those
able
two
to
were
pull
able
the
to,
nose up.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
like,
she's Oscar
Wattner, on the other hand.
That's what I'm saying.
I hope you enjoyed your 6 months with Taylor Swift. You must be a decent guy because she doesn't seem to
there's
write
no songs
about
you.
Wait, so he dated Taylor Swift and then he married another Taylor. He only dates Taylors.
Maybe
he's married
maybe
to
it's his kink.
Taylor
know.
Something else.
We don't kink shame on this podcast.
First of all,
is it his name Taylor?
It is.
That's weird.
So he dated Taylor Swift and married Taylor.
Maybe
I'm sorry for not knowing.
Maybe he only likes to scream out his own name during sex.
Maybe he's like it's like a Tony Danza where he's too dumb. Like, look, just call him Tony in the show. Like, it'll just make it easier on everybody.
Guy, can you imagine being like the girl after Taylor Swift?
Good luck. You know, that's one of those things about dating in Hollywood where it's like you're the other one. Like, you know, like they just did an interview with Gina Carano.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But she did have nice things that she's like, the guy was like, you dated a guy who was a very famous actor at one point. And she was like,
Henry Cavill.
And she said his name and she was like, he was very sweet. She's like, did you date? But she never said anything.
I really liked her, and I wish she didn't go off the deep end because I liked her when she was in Haywire. And
Haywire,
thought
is a
she had a lot
movie.
Of promise for a kick-ass action.
Did you know her? All of her dialogue is dubbed.
That sounds familiar, but I couldn't remember.
So, but Haywire is great. I think she was good on Mandalorian.
Yeah, I did think she was cool on Mandalorian. I just think it's such a bummer she went into all that stuff and now is, you know, on the Ben Shapiro network and all that. You know what I mean? But that's like, I mean, she's following the exact trajectory of what happens.
There's a very funny Chad Daniels joke about that where he's like, people don't get canceled. Their fan base just changes.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like he's like, Louis C.K. didn't get canceled. Now he just sells like tummy bibs at his shows now, you know. So yeah, so she's runs this gym and she's, you know, looks like she's very meh about life. Like, she's got a decent apartment, and then we're introduced to Jack.
You would call that a decent apartment
in 80?
I'm like, where are you living, Joe? Do you need help?
But I mean, like,
do we need
80...
to start a GoFundMe?
Crappy little apartment.
Yeah, it's, I think just... it's for 1987, 88.
Yeah,
and you run a gym that your dad owns.
I mean, spoilers. I was 19 when this movie is set, so like, I know people that lived in places.
That's
like
exactly
that.
It. My first apartment was not great. You know, like. So yeah, so now we're introduced to Jackie
Katie O'Brien, who was in The Mandalorian,
and man, she got jacked.
Yeah. She's a former bodybuilder, so she actually knows this world.
Oh.
She doesn't anymore. She's ripped but on the leaner side now, but she's huge in this movie.
Yeah.
She obviously got back into her bodybuilding, but she was a villain on the second season of The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
She was really intimidating. I mean, she was good in that show.
She was very good on
that
show.
She was like trying to capture Baby Yoda and was super evil.
I thought that was Ahsoka. Am I wrong about it? It was the second season?
It was Mandalorian.
Okay.
She was in the Imperial uniform.
She was
in all black, little hat and all that. But she was really good and intimidating. She was in your favorite movie of last year, Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumania.
Who was she?
She was one of the aliens on the planet that they all befriend. Like there's like the gel guy and her. She isn't
Ahsoka. In that show.
I don't need to hear the whole thing. They basically
convert all of the Empire people into like other working not for the Empire.
So Grogu is what they call Baby Yoda, and the Mandalorian. Din Djarin's his real name.
What's a Yoda?
Yeah.
So back in Empire Strikes Back, Frank Oz is the puppeteer
on the planet Dagobah. And she,
I can't say Dagobah. You can say
Dagobah.
I can say it.
Luke, use the Force and run. Run to Dagobah. Remember that Flash music video?
The Flash?
Uncle Owen, I'm out of power converters or whatever.
No, I don't remember that at all.
Oh, my gosh. Back when Shockwave was a thing, videos.
Yeah. Oh.
Run to Dagobah.
You said
Luke,
Flash.
Use the
my
Force
head and went to the Speedster.
Well, of course it did.
No. Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about?
But there's this Flash video where it was a Star Wars rap back in the like early 2000s.
Man,
it was all the rage.
You kids don't even know the stuff that we watch. Yeah. So we're introduced to Jackie, and she is in the front seat of a car getting railed,
and it was so dark I couldn't even see who that was at first. Literally, in the next scene when we see him, I'm like, wait a minute, was that James Franco?
Yeah, I was struggling with that.
David Franco.
Oh, you're not gonna see James Franco in anything.
And it got me wondering. It's
what
like,
about
man.
If this? They're just gonna remake this movie with Gina Carano
and James Franco.
They probably will.
Ed Harris will be played by Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, right. I gotta tell you, there were scenes that I forgot how much I love Ed Harris. He's so good.
I was gonna say the same thing. Ed Harris has really been getting some meaty roles. Westworld, which I'm never gonna stop complaining till my dying day that didn't end, because he was so good in Westworld. And then you see him pop up in other stuff. And was he in Top Gun? Was he?
Yeah, he was like the general
as a bad guy. Yeah, like I love these roles they keep giving him.
That was the one where he's like, I'm not standing up.
Yeah,
and we're like, okay, you can sit there.
Every role he takes recently, I mean, he's always been good. We know that, like in Apollo 11, 13. Right? Apollo 13?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't even remember which one it is.
Apollo 11 is like a found footage horror film.
Okay. Yeah. We know in Apollo 13 he was in that, but like he's always good.
You know, it's 13 is the one where they almost all die because it was very unlucky.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just, for some reason in my head, whenever I now think
The
about,
Rock? He's the bad guy
Rock. He's always been good, but like these roles recently,
the
man.
Right stuff?
Oh, yeah.
It's like he shows up, though, and he's there to play. Like, he does not phone it in. You know how, you know, sometimes actors get older and they come for their paycheck, and it's like, okay, we get this big name. But, like, Ed Harris shows up.
Did you think he looked like... Are you both caught up on Stranger Things?
No.
No, I haven't.
No,
okay.
No.
He looks just like Vecna. When they go into the red, like, flashbacks, I was like, that is eerie how much he looks like the bad guy.
The rumor is that he put on hair extensions or something as a joke, and Rose Glass was like, nope, that's it. And it's a great look for this
it
old
is very
scummy
weird.
Villain yep. guy. Yeah, yeah, it was great. Yeah. But, yes, he's great. And so he's Lou's dad.
Yes.
We find out. And he's, like, running guns to Mexico, because they see them, like, hiding all these guns in crates, and they show Mexico no guns allowed or whatever.
And
so
the feds are after him.
So he's got these illegal operations. Yeah, the feds are checking in on the gym. But you said Katie O'Brien ends up sleeping with Dave Franco to get a job.
Correct.
At the gun range her dad runs.
Yes. And so she being Jackie kind of just is. It's interesting because Dave Franco's character is awful.
Yeah. JJ.
But he has moments where he's like not awful, because he tells her, he's like, where are you sleeping? And she was like, I don't know. He's like, just be careful where you're sleeping.
A not awful guy. First of all, I would probably not sleep with you to give you a job. But second of all,
also a married guy.
A married, not awful guy would not sleep with you so you get a job. And then also, instead of being like, be careful, it's dangerous, might like help
you
get
that's
to
true.
A place.
That's a good point.
He goes, it's dangerous, see you, and drives off. So he's a scumbag for sure.
Oh, without question.
Anytime he acts not awful is fake. He's a total jerk.
And so... They go to, you know, that we meet, we're introduced to all these characters. We go to the gun range. We see Ed Harris for the first time. We know that he's not a great guy, but he's also, he's another one that like has his motivations kind of make sense when things go down. The things that he's doing are to protect his daughter.
Well, they're
not good. They're not good things.
I don't think so. His motivation is to protect himself. And I think he,
oh, I don't think so.
I think that in protecting her, like, she knows a lot about him.
Yeah.
And I think that ultimately he does not want her to do what she ends up doing. Spoilers. Spoilers, reviewers. Sorry, spoilers. the show is called Real Spoilers. You know what I mean? And like, I get what you're saying because he does seem like he cares about her, but I feel he ultimately cares about himself.
Well,
and as soon as she's doesn't play ball, she's gone.
A lot of that is true.
Yeah.
But then I think about the scene in the hospital with Jenna Malone, mm-hmm. where he is kind of, I mean, he's by the bed. He was like, we're going to take care of it. Like, so he is, there are moments yeah. where he does care about his family, but mm-hmm. overall
yeah.
he's a bad
well
dude.
And I yeah. also think he cares about Jenna Malone but doesn't care about Lou. I think that
because Jenna Malone is from the wife that leaves.
I don't know exactly because the mother's gone.
I think they're half sisters.
Okay, maybe. And they're alluding, like, I think we're led to believe that he killed the mom, and she thinks that he killed the mom, but then he in the car pretty insistently is like, no, she just left. So that was an interesting read.
When he gives that speech about how he didn't kill the mom, I was like,
totally killed the mom.
I know this guy's like a bag, but like, I'm kind of believing.
That's
sure.
not,
like, he's very matter of fact of like, no, she just left. Like,
she didn't want to be married to me anymore. And didn't right. want to be your mom.
And I kind of buy that Kristen Stewart has made this whole boogeyman out of the dad, and I know he does bad things, but like, she, you know, she hates him and believes that he killed her mother, and I kind of think she just left, which is one of those interesting character studies.
Right.
But then they do kind of give you the carrot, right, where the Fed says, look, your mom was getting ready to talk, and everybody that gets ready to talk ends up in that ditch,
but maybe she left,
maybe.
So that she didn't have to talk and maybe face the wrath of
end
whatever
up,
he
end up in yeah.
right
ditch.
So it's just an interesting thing, and I kind of like that they don't spoon feed it because it's her motivation, her main one for hating the dad,
right?
But then they also keep flashing to these nightmares that are like this red
yeah.
and black, you know, very dark scenes,
yeah, flashbacks
where like he's shooting someone, and then at some point it almost seemed like she was shooting
she
someone.
Did. She did.
And then I was like, did he have her kill the mom?
Yes.
Like I was, it was really making me think that like,
I did think we were going to, you're right.
That there was some revelation that actually at his behest or something, but that he had her kill her mom
yeah.
and she knows she's gone, but she is dead. I don't know, but it was interesting. Kept you guessing.
I did.
I was yeah. not quite sure what was going
yeah,
on.
Yeah. I think, and we've said it before, is this a very smart movie? Mm-hmm. And what I also liked is they don't do that trope where your two main characters don't have a conversation. It almost happens, and they figure it, like, there's a scene where at this point Jackie and Lou get, Lou sees Jackie at the gym
working out, getting swole,
swollen, jacked,
jackied,
and that's right. And they have like a moment, and then so as they're both locking up the gym, Jackie is kind of,
well, there's a muscle bound guy.
That guy's name is Keith Jardine. He was a UFC
Must
fighter,
a wrestler.
He was a UFC fighter
or a ballerina.
Touché.
I think he was on like the first season of The Ultimate Fighter. He was on the very one of the early seasons.
He's a big dude.
He's a massive man. And you know, he kind of grabs Jackie. You know, like, let's go to the bar, and she's like, "No, I'm good here." And grabs her arm, and then Jackie turn out of nowhere, just blasts him in the face, and of course she gets hit because
He said something very mean to Lou. He called her a bad word. Yeah, he said something, and she was kind of defending
Oh,
her.
I thought he like grabbed her arm and pulled her away.
He said something to Lou.
I forget what he said.
He called her something not nice.
Okay.
Might have been a driveway doll. You know.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's the worst thing you can call someone is a driveway doll.
Anyone
who's seen that movie,
that is now an old
thing. That's a reference that nobody will get because nobody saw that movie. Yeah.
Or knows the backstory of that title. But it's a deep one. It's a deep cut.
Yeah,
but
it's so deep that they put it on the end of the movie.
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah.
The title.
Oh, they put the real title at the end?
Yeah.
Oh, I must have started leaving already at that point.
When they drive away, it's on the wall. It's like,
oh, I
the
did
wall.
Not realize yeah. that. Okay, see. Well, I didn't even know. He learned something every day.
Yeah. Our two characters go into the gym, and they start fooling around and making out. And when they go back to Lou's apartment and they have sex,
she offers her steroids. which is kind of a big thing, because I do believe that the rage is steroid induced at this, as it goes in through the movie, right?
Well,
so she's jacked, but she says, I'm au naturel, you know, and I believe her. But as soon as she starts taking steroids, her disposition gets more questionable, right? She's getting very angry at things, and you see her muscles, which I believe is a metaphor, but her muscles are literally like
watching
bulging,
them grow like, in real time.
Yeah.
They don't. But it just takes time.
But that's a little of the A24. The monster movie. They make a lot of weird horror, body horror type stuff. And so her muscles start like growing and bulging as she flexes.
It's funny, at the beginning, you know, at the Draft House, they show random things. Mm-hmm. And they showed a clip from the Incredible Hulk TV show.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell does this have to do with this movie? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh,
yep.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. He fights a giant gorilla in that episode. And, you know.
He's a nice guy. I've met him a couple times at those cons. Luke? Yeah, he's nice. He's a big guy. I mean, when you see him, he really is huge in real life.
Big.
He is. I mean, he still works out as big, but like
he's bigger than Arnold at this point.
Really? I mean, they were competing for
now,
a while.
Yeah, I mean, they were both in Pumping Iron.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. But I think Arnold has not slimmed down, but he is not.
I don't think he works out to.
But Lou still looks like he's in the gym about 15 hours a day.
He is still, working out for sure.
So she offers her steroids, and I do like, there is definitely a metaphor for drugs and stuff, and they use steroids, which, you know, is like this weird gray area where it's not technically heroin or meth, but it is a drug.
But they are illegal.
They are illegal.
So
I guess it feels different because it's not mind altering. Although I guess eventually it can be because it's not something you take to get high.
Right. And Lou does say, she's like, just take a little bit of this. Like, she's only given her like a little bit just to get everything going. And then when Jackie.
She does call her Jack.
That's okay. But, yeah, right. Yeah. When she starts ramping it up, that's when everything starts, because she's taking more and more.
Yeah,
and
at first she's just taking a little bit. She's like, you don't do a ton of them. And she's like, guys buy them at the gym all the time and leave them around. And, you know, I've got this little supply of them. But after she, you know, she says, where do you want it? In my butt. And then they just have a moment and start going
back.
That
was a big ass needle, I got to tell you.
Every time she used it, I was like, shit. I was scared straight. I'm like, I'm never using steroids.
Did you ever see the Vince? I think it's Vince.
Well, they were neither scared nor straight.
That's right.
Which is nice because, you know, Kristen Stewart is gay in real life.
Oh.
And
yeah. Is that right?
And Katie O'Brien is openly gay.
So I knew Katie O'Brien. I didn't know Kristen Stewart. That's how little I pay attention to
her. But I mean, so she has dated men, so I can't.
She dated Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, I mean, but she's dated, you know, multiple men.
Did she break up a marriage?
Rupert.
Yeah, because she was dating the director
Sanders,
of Snow White.
Rupert Sanders. Yeah. Unfortunately, it was a big in the news, and they were in a car together, and someone got a photo of them making out.
Yeah.
And she was with Robert Pattinson. Yes. She cheated on Pattinson, and he was married.
Yikes.
So anyway, I just think it's like you have these two actors that are very good, but neither one of them is necessarily playing outside of the world. Like, they cast them appropriately.
That's what we talked about on Driveway Dolls, right? Like, everything about that movie seems manufactured.
Right.
Everything.
Yeah.
This did not. Like, none of
their
relationship, the sex scenes.
Interesting how that works out when you cast people. Right. And I'm not saying, and this is a whole other discussion of, can actors not act and play different roles? I mean, I know that there's a lot that goes into that, but if you get actors who are not believable in roles, I mean...
Well, that goes back to that Denzel Washington comment, right?
I cut that out of the episode so no one heard it, but...
Why?
I don't know. It just led into something else.
Then I'll do it here.
it's going to get cut. No.
Well, it's just he talks about how a certain director directing a certain movie makes sense because of the experience that director has. This feels very similar to that because these two women... live that life. This is their life. So,
and maybe another actor that doesn't, I'm not saying no actor could do it, but these ones can specifically because they
a greater degree of likelihood
of
achieving the outcome you want.
And Driveway Dolls, again, the whole thing did feel so fake and so manufactured and contrived, which is weird in hindsight knowing half of the writing team, but that's a whole nother discussion.
That also got cut out of the episode.
Yeah.
we talked about that.
Well, we didn't know.
That's true. That's also true.
That we didn't know that the Ethan Cohen is married to a gay woman.
Yeah.
I don't know. And fine, whatever, they're both consenting adults, whatever. But like, that was not something that you would guess. If you don't know that, you would never.
Right. No.
I don't know.
But for whatever reason, it doesn't work in that movie.
But and it's a very bad movie.
Very bad. And I think the sex scenes in this, because that they have that life experience, felt more real.
And I talked about this the other day with what movie was it where there was a... Was it Driveway? Driveway
yeah,
Dolls.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. The only thing I appreciated about that movie was that usually it seems a little bit like from more from the male gaze or something, and you just don't get a authentic feeling or looking sex scene where it's just like banging, right? Not right. lovemaking, but banging. And this movie does the same thing where it's like, oh, it's a sex scene. They just happen to be same sex, but they don't treat it differently than to a guy and a girl hooking up. And it's just,
yeah, so...
I think you're getting more of that now because just times have changed. And, you know, it used to be like they just wouldn't put that in a movie.
Right.
Yeah, they would have.
Didn't want to offend anyone or whatever.
On HBO at midnight. Yeah. That's where it would
be. Now it's just like, whatever.
But that wasn't. But that was for men.
Yes. Right. Absolutely. Like, that was, absolutely. So their relationship is progressing. Jackie's working at the gun range.
She's trying to go to a bodybuilding competition in Las Vegas in a month, basically. Yeah.
So she's taking a little bit of the steroid. She's working out every day. She's working at the gun range. And then they go. We meet Lou's family, and it's the most awkward interaction because I think this is the first time that Jackie has been brought around, and JJ realizes that he has slept with this woman, and now...
Well, he works at the gun range, and he sees her at work
all
the time.
Which, that's not so bad, but when your sister-in-law is dating the woman...
Of course,
you know,
like, but he's very familiar with it. He didn't go like, hey, are you that one that I hooked up with a month?
Well,
he's like,
got a lot to unpack here, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, this... lady I slept with is now in my home in front of my wife, and apparently she's not straight.
Right.
And also in
banging my sister-in-law.
Yes. And in 1989, like, you know...
2024, that's a lot to unpack.
Right. But I was going to say, also 1989 is going to be confusing because, I mean, there was a lot less acceptance of bisexuality, right?
Sure.
Like, it was like bisexuality was often perceived as a stop on the way to being gay.
Correct.
Right?
Which is the line in this.
Yeah,
where Lou even asks her, she's like, "Are you fucking around?" Or like, "Are you into this?" She's like, "No, I'm here. Like, I'm with it." But when they're after the dinner, and we should say that, like, at one point we see that Jenna Malone, who plays Lou's sister, her face is kind of cut, like she's got a little bit of cut on her lip. She's got her arm in a cat and a sling. So we know
JJ's abusive.
And
Lou isn't putting up with this crap. And she goes and confronts him, and he ends up saying, "Hey, I don't know who you think this girl is that you're fooling around with, but we did it."
Yeah, he's like, I screwed her in my car and yada, yada, yada.
And he's just such a gross jerk.
And this is, maybe he took some cues from his brother in this one. Hey, man, if Seth Rogen says, "I'm done with you," red flag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He knows what's smart for his career. He's got a big producing career.
But he's also, I feel like he's not, you look at Sandler, right? Who still's like, "Rob Schneider is my buddy." I was like, "That guy, you're going to talk to that guy?"
Yeah, that dude's so rich that Sandler is beyond. True. By all accounts, Sandler is a great guy. Everyone says he's so nice, like people in public when he goes to restaurants. Everyone talks nothing but good stuff. And he's also so rich. So, I just feel like if you found out that, Sandler's still friends with Rob Schneider, who's a little more controversial these days, like, that's not going to get Sandler losing.
No.
He's Adam Sandler, and he would have to mess up pretty.
Until they find out that Sandler is also.
I think he's a great guy from all what I hear. So when he did, he had an interview, I think it was around Uncut Gems, and the Safdie brothers had him come to a diner, and it was a setup where they had cameras all around, and they were interviewing Sandler, and it was supposed to be just a lunch get together, but it ended up being the Q&A because the Safdie brothers are indie, like, art house. They do weird stuff, you know what I mean? I love what they do. But so they wanted the Q&A for their movie to promote it to be this thing that Sandler doesn't know he's doing a Q&A. So the waiter would walk up and ask him a question about the movie, and then Jason Bateman happened to be at the diner and he started asking him questions about what he was working on.
That's,
and it was
so
all
random.
The Q&A for the movie they're promoting.
Funny.
But and he ends up finding out, and it's funny, go watch.
That's
it,
pretty good.
But he never, like, he doesn't know he's being filmed, but yet he's talking like a normal dude, and like there's some questionable things, and he's like, "That's kind of weird," or whatever. And he doesn't know he's being filmed, so you can tell, like, you know, if there was a not nice guy and he didn't know he was being filmed, he might be like, you know, "Who are these effing weirdos?" And what,
This is the scene that I was talking about where it's very easy for these two characters to have this fight, not talk about it, and then go about, but they do talk about it, right? Like, there's Jenna Malone. Kristen Stewart tells the other
actress. Jackie,
to get out of the car. And she's like, fine, and gets out, and she starts walking, and she's like, okay, wait, I'm sorry. And
like, Kristen Stewart really blows that better. And I know that it's a confusing situation, but like, their relationship has been pretty good up until this. But I'm guessing that Lou feels that Jackie has just been using her.
Yes.
And feels betrayed in that regard.
Yeah.
And so she really does blow up at her and say, get out and all this, because, you know, JJ, you know, said some mean things and then basically said she's just using you for your gym and your apartment.
Yeah,
she gets
a free place to stay and a free gym membership.
So she's walking and then she sees, I guess, the feds.
Because early in the movie, this guy comes up to Lou at the desk of the gym and starts asking questions, and she's just like, what are you talking about? And then he drops the card that he's a fed, and he's trying to get information on her dad, which we find out is Ed Harris. So, but what I'm saying is, like, we talk about in BVS, right? Like, I will always use that as one of the worst, you know, the Martha line.
Oh,
where
okay.
It's like, it's something
like, we talk about that?
Yeah, well, it's as simple as, like, when he lands in Gotham, all he's got to say is, like, hey, man, Lex has my mom. Can you help me, please? No, we don't get that at all. We get that stupid fight, and then he says the mom's name. He's like, bet, you know, whatever. This is that moment where Lou could very easily have driven off. And not said a word, and the whole movie is based on that. The whole movie is ruined because of, but she doesn't. She opens up to Jackie and tells her what's going on with her and why she's staying in. I don't know where they are.
Like, I don't, California. I think they're close enough to Vegas. Like, Vegas is drivable easily from California.
Yes, right? Is it?
It's right there. Yeah. I mean,
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think they're somewhere in California.
Yeah, but they never say. But it is they are driving to Vegas. Like, that's the plan.
Yeah. And well, one of them does.
That's true. And Jackie accepts it. So like, it's this whole conflict that could have not ruined a movie, but like, it made things very, like, if you had just told her from the jump, this thing would have never happened.
Well, they talk and it doesn't seem great, but the feds, or whether that
they're
or one of her dad's guys,
no,
whoever,
it's the feds.
Is it for sure the feds?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But she says get in the car, and so that kind of is like, well, that's better than whatever this is
right.
That's happening.
It's more important. So they get back in the car. The next morning, Lou gets a phone call. She goes to the hospital, and Jenna Malone's face is just wrecked.
Yes.
And we know that JJ did it. We know that's what happened.
Yeah, this is not a mystery.
No, not at all. And we see Ed Harris come in, and this is the first time we see Lou and Ed Harris together on screen.
Earlier in the movie, it's kind of like, as the relationship progresses, it's kind of a surprise.
Well, she says that when Jackie says, oh, I have a job at this gun range, and Lou is like, don't work there. Like, you know, she reveals that that's her dad.
Yeah.
It's funny how these people in this world, Jenna Malone is enabling JJ. She's not going to leave him, just even if he beats her half to death.
Well, and so I think JJ's helping him with his gun smuggling operation. So
that is
why he doesn't just take him out. But
we
do find out later, I think he's going to have a very stern talking to had he not already been taken care of.
But we do find out that JJ is a rat. JJ was an informant. And we find, so it's just, it is, to me, this is very much like Fargo, where it's like all of these things can get tied up very easily just by happenstance, right?
But that's what's exciting, right? It does feel like early Coen Brothers.
Yes.
You have all this stuff going on. You have the criminal dad, and you have this guy, and he's a jerk, but he's also working with the feds.
And you've got some very funny, like, subdued scenes.
Yeah.
Like, there are some very funny scenes in this movie.
Yeah.
There's one scene with Kristen Stewart there towards the end where she was like, nope, or says she does something. Maybe when they're trying to get JJ into a car. I don't know. There was something that was very...
Well, there is some funny visual comedy, just like a Coen Brothers type thing with dragging a body around.
Right.
So, but in this...
Also, I want to talk about Kristen Stewart drags a lot of bodies in this movie.
Yeah.
Which, to me, is like, she is deceptively strong because those bodies are not light. And she's just picking them up and throwing them...
You think
them.
They really had a body in the
carpet? No. But I mean the character, right?
Hey.
Like, but she does work in a gym.
She works in a gym. We never see her working out in the gym. But I will also say that's the difference between a good movie and a bad movie. Like, if this was a bad movie, you'd be sitting there going, there's no way she could pick up that body.
But because this
is a good movie,
it's like, whatever.
On this on a point like this, you give it the benefit of the doubt and you go, oh, she must just be a very compact, strong.
Yeah,
that kind of like skinny person muscle where it's like, very like dense muscle.
Yeah,
like there are some people where you'd just be like, there's no way, but they're so strong.
Mm-hmm.
But, Kristen Stewart, I want to say in this scene, so she's very good throughout this film, but her acting chops really show when Jenna Malone's in the hospital and she's getting upset and is beside herself. And I think that you really see a good performance from her.
Agreed.
Here.
I don't disagree at all.
Jackie's sitting in a chair and like kind of like quietly wigging out. You can see that she just doesn't know what she's going to do. And like you said, Ed Harris comes and Lou is like, you have to do something about JJ like this. And he's like, now I'll take care of it. But in
you just what, need to chill out.
Yeah. And at this point, Jackie, he leaves, I think. And then Jackie just gets up and
takes the truck and drives over to JJ's. JJ, because they say that JJ is talking to the police. And he's giving a statement.
Yeah.
She's like, you're just going to let him go anyway. So Jackie goes in the house and just beats the tar out of him.
This is a very horror movie type because
very much.
He walks in and it's you don't see anyone. It's dark and it's quiet. And all of a sudden she comes out of it.
And this got a great reaction in the theater.
I really wish I could have seen it better because it was so dark.
Well, then, but you don't see anything. Here's the thing. It's super smart. So she basically curb stomps JJ on a table. And when JJ's head falls to the ground, you see his jaw.
Yeah, that's like, what I mean. I could see it and it was still gnarly enough because I could see it. But I'm like, I really wish it was a little brighter because it looked like it was a really good effect. And
it was in shadow, but you could see that the shadow of his,
I could see his jaw like slid to the other side or something.
Like, it flapped.
Yeah.
And it got a fantastic reaction in the theater.
Yeah.
It was so good. And Kristen Stewart's still at the hospital. She wakes up, realizes her keys are gone, hops in a cab. As she's driving home, she sees her truck in front of JJ's house. So she goes inside and she finds his body and
what's left of it.
And she realizes what Jackie has done. They try to fix it all. And
she puts her gym cleaning skills to use.
That's very true. Yeah.
Well, and that's the Chekhov's gym cleaning in the beginning with the toilet and all that. Yeah. Because I do think that was kind of clever the way they set it up, because throughout this movie now she's cleaning up this mess and everything, but you saw how good she was at cleaning. I don't know.
Yes. It was very deliberate that we see
her. And you know, it was like just a throwaway, and so she works at the gym and cleans stuff, but when you see her doing this, you're like, oh, she knows how to get sweat and stains out and everything. So it was
she's also adept at putting her hand inside of things.
Correct. Yeah. Which I was also well done. That was the line that got a big laugh for whatever reason. I just want to see how many you can take.
Yeah.
Was the line, and I was like, holy shit. That's gonna all right.
She was talking about M&Ms, how many you can fit in your mouth at the same time.
We'll go with that. Absolutely what she was talking about.
Okay.
So they devise this plan where they're gonna put JJ in the back of this car, and we know that Lou knows a spot where she can get rid of this thing.
What do you think about the toe in the mouth?
Yeah, it's gross.
That's that thing again where I always think, you know, on set, how clean did she just get it scrubbed and cleaned?
What was it?
Is it a prosthetic? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I always just want to know on set, like, because there's actors and health risks, you know, things at play. You know, it's a very.
I also do wonder, like, how much of that is improvised.
I don't think in today's world any of it's improvised.
You don't think so?
I think because it's all about intimacy coordinators these days. So I think that all that stuff in today's world is probably.
But on these art house movies, you see the Saltburn thing where he's like, I humped that grave, which I know you don't believe, but I did. There was an interview.
Yeah, but you don't need to get permission to hump a patch of dirt.
Yeah, but we had talked about but he takes his pants off and he's around people, the crew and stuff. So I do think, but there's an interview and I didn't click on it, but I was doing some research and the headline said, Kate O'Brien said, put your foot in my mouth or something. So I do think that might have actually been improvised. Yeah. I didn't watch the thing. So
interesting.
Well, someone says you should do this. Yeah. I don't know that that's improvised. I mean, they made it up on the moment, but they're not in the moment and someone just did.
Right.
Improvised. This is more like they're riffing like, hey, how can we structure this scene?
That's a weird debate of semantics.
I don't think it's a debate of semantics at all, because it gives Kristen Stewart the opportunity to say,
no,
hell no, I am not putting my foot in.
But if it's not part of the script, I feel like that's improv. When you come up with something not in the script, I think you can call that improvisation.
I guess I feel like improv is like you make it up up in the moment, and nobody and everybody's just on the fly going with whatever somebody puts
to me
out
like
there.
Improv in the script, it says Lou and Jack have sex, right? That's in this, that's if that's what's in the script, and then the two actors take that and then they do whatever it is they do on set. You know what I mean? Like, That's when I say improvise, yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, it's a very yeah vague, like, note in a script.
Right.
And the two actors kind of roll with it however they do.
They should have humped a grave. I think that would have been...
It's all the rage these days.
Yeah.
It was, there was a lot of that.
All the cool kids
all
are doing
cool
it.
All the cool kids yeah are doing it. So they take this car out to a ravine, and it's, again, it's just, it's...
Well, they run into Miss Baryshnikov.
Daisy.
Man, that's a stressful moment.
Both of them. That one and then the scene in the diner are equal. Yeah. Oh, no, is it the diner? Or is it...
It
is
the diner, yeah. That Anna Baryshnikov, whatever her name is in the movie, she's creepy. She plays a really good creepy... She's off from the beginning.
Those teeth help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does look a little methed out or something.
Yeah.
Something's
going on there.
But she's very...
She reminded me of Punxsutawney from... Orange is the New Black. Did you ever watch
that? I did not watch that.
Eska show.
Yeah.
It's worth watching. But there's a character on there. She's the one, the actress who's kind of has her own, I think, mental health struggles in real life. The one who went viral not too long ago for talking about rimming her boyfriend's butt.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
is Punxsutawney.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she plays Daisy in the movie. And from the very first scene when Kristen Stewart's got her up to her elbow in crap in the toilet, she's like hitting on her and firing on her, and you're like, there's something off about this woman. And so she ends up, as they're driving, they get to a red light, and then all of a sudden another kind of horror-esque moment, jump scare type thing, she bangs on the window, and so Kristen Stewart is driving
JJ's
car, and then Jackie's following in the truck behind, and she's like, is that she doesn't know that Jackie and her dating.
Right.
And so she's like, what is she doing in your truck? And she's like, oh, no, I got to go. We'll meet up.
Yeah,
I'll go to the club
with
you or whatever. And then so now we've got a witness.
Right. So they get to this ravine and...
Kristen Stewart knows how to get rid of a body in a car.
But she doesn't.
She doesn't?
No, because she makes the fireball too big.
No, she wants it
she
found.
Does purposely
oh,
does
that's
it.
On that's purpose. Right. Because
you know,
right,
there's
right,
a
right
lot at the bottom of that ravine. They're
she's
gonna
trying,
find.
She's two birds trying with one to stone lead them to her dad.
That's right. That's
but
right,
she knows
right
how to do it. She made a Molotov cocktail and doused the car with gasoline and threw it so that it would explode. She much knows.
I was thinking initially when they say that they're gonna see the smoke and it was that she knew she had to get rid of that body, but she screwed it, she did screw
yeah
it up.
You're
just
saying
enough.
She didn't know how to get rid of it without being found, but she wanted to be found.
Yes, that's
so,
right, you're right, because she does say that.
But you know, she clearly
she wants the body found, but she wants the body damaged so they can't tell that it didn't die during the wreck.
Right, right.
And I also think she says, because Jackie's concerned that they'll see it and everything, and she's like, they're gonna find a lot more. You don't have to worry because there's a lot more down there they're going to be concerned with.
Right. There's more stuff down there.
It was a cool looking scene with the fire coming up and
the cops driving to it.
Yep. And the sirens in the background and they're going the other way.
Right. So they realize that Jackie and Lou have to lay low. Like, we're just going to hang out here. I'm going to go back to JJ's. I'm going to clean up that place. And then
you stay here.
You stay here. Don't go anywhere.
Always works. As long as you just say, please stay here.
Don't do anything.
Yeah, but, like in Madam Web.
Yeah, exactly. That is the prime example. Now out on digital.
It didn't take long, did it? You know what else is on digital?
Driveway Dolls.
What a double feature if you want to watch those and listen to the episodes. And meanwhile, Jackie's like, okay, let's go. We got to get to the competition. And Lou's like, there's no competition. Like, we cannot be seen. If we leave town now, it will look suspicious. And you can tell that Jackie's like, but no, I've been training
training so hard for this.
And so Lou says, yeah, stay here, goes to clean it up. Meanwhile, you know that's not going to happen.
No, Jackie starts
to be a boring movie if it
did. It would have been. Jackie is now using more and more steroids.
Yeah.
She goes, she hops.
She's shooting it between her toes, I think.
Yeah. Well, anywhere that you really can.
Yeah.
You can't see.
One's always
But like, if you're gonna, I mean, you're basically naked on stage.
Yeah,
right.
So
right.
She has to just to be somewhere where needle marks aren't going to be visible,
which makes sense for why she did it in the butt and then the toes. But still, the between the toes in any drug movie makes me, especially with that size needle.
Oh yeah, no joke. So she hitches a ride, gets to Vegas.
I thought that was going to be Bad News Bears,
which I do like that
the
it
van
wasn't.
Full of hippie guys or whatever, and I'm like,
all right, man, see ya. And
she's all like wigging out because she's all
she's doing the math. I'm like, did Bang Bust exist in 1989?
Yeah, it did.
It was called Psychedelic Bang Bust.
That's right. That's right.
But they just drop her off like, have a good competition.
Yeah,
man.
See you. Good luck. but I thought, to me, it felt like she was coming, like down, like she was in withdrawals, and I don't know if you can get it.
I don't know, because she was taking the stuff and doing all these push-ups and chin-ups, and
well, she did that after, right? So she lays out her stuff, and then something happens where she sees, I don't know, she is wigging out, and she takes a hit of the steroid, and then you see her in the bikini, and she's pulling up.
Yeah, they're acting like steroids are somehow mind-altering drugs, and
but I do
just
think
like,
it probably does give you a giant
get a
shot of dopamine
or something.
Yeah, I mean, I know that over time it, you know, like with the rage aspect, but I didn't know that like if you take it, you instantly like get.
I think
I don't know that that's true. It might be. I don't know that it is though.
I mean, I've taken like antibiotic steroids.
I'll tell you, when I had bronchitis or whatever I had, and they gave me a shot of steroids, I felt like a trillion bucks. And that's where I'm like, I get why people that are competing and stuff do it, because you feel stronger and better. Because
I took it once because I hurt my back, and that was it.
That makes sense.
But did it make you feel great?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I didn't feel different at all.
They gave me a shot of steroids, and you know, I was sick going in there and wasn't feeling great, and I took it, and I'm like, man, I'm ready take on the world.
So I do think that there's some aspect of that.
There has to be, because I know that I took a tiny amount of whatever, and obviously not the same kind, but like a steroid, and it really made me feel great.
Sure. So she's on stage. She's with like a group of women, and she's putting on a show. And she is, I mean, there's another gal who is in like, who has like a build like, you can ring the bell if you want, build like China. Like she has that over... Mm-hmm. That very muscular.
Well, you know what I realized when we got there is I'm like, yes, Jackie is in great shape.
She's not
she looks
like
these phenomenal. Other girls. But when you get to a competition of all people that are doing the same thing, and you see the size, and I was thinking, oh, she's going to do okay. But, you know, she's going to this competition talking to Lou, I'm going to win. I'm going to do this. And she's going to get there and see all these other women, and she's going to get, you know, fifth place or something
out. I mean, when you look at the women that were there, she was on the smaller side.
That's what I mean. Yeah. And so, like, she was great for that gym, and you didn't see any other women. But when you see the competition, you're like, oh,
she had the build, maybe this is on purpose. To me, she had the build not of a bodybuilder, but of a fitness model. Like there's a difference between like,
I don't know that distinction existed back then.
Oh, that's probably
definitely
true.
Not
like, you know,
then,
I mean, it definitely exists now to where it's like bodybuilders are more about like how big and can you get. Where
she was big though, man, when she flexed her arms,
she was. But if you look at like I think of Trish Stratus was a fitness model.
Yeah,
so she was ripped and jacked, but she
like
was
very defined, but still lean.
Yes.
And still feminine. Like, right? Like,
and
a lot
of. I don't
mean
that in a bad way. Like,
yeah, but like a lot of the really intense next level bodybuilders, they stop looking like women.
Yeah, their
physically.
Body starts making testosterone.
Yeah.
So she gets to the competition. She's got
This was the A24 scene where she does start to freak out.
She gets up on stage. She's doing her posing. We've seen her all movie. And again, she was a bodybuilder, the actor, so you know, she knows what she's doing. The poses look legit to me.
Oh yeah,
where again, like, she's been in that world, she knows how to do the poses, but then she starts seeing visions
and she throws up Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, and it looked like something out of Alien. It looked like
it was wild,
in a slimy sack.
That was the first time where I was like, oh, you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
it's like,
right, whoa. That's when it clicked for me. I go, A24, there it is.
So she thinks that these girls are making fun of her, and I think they probably were.
Oh, for sure.
And so she runs over and beats the out of one of them. Like, just, you know, I was like, oh, she's going to kill that girl.
She did just throw up on stage, though.
She did.
I mean, people are going to have a reaction.
They're
going to
have
that.
A reaction.
We saw what she did to JJ, and so I was thinking the same thing. So this was not like a little, you know, I'm not pressing charges situation. This was hauled off to jail situation.
Well, and clearly, I mean, obviously steroids can induce rage, but she clearly had anger issues to start.
Yeah, we
right?
get that. I think before all of this, do we get that
the phone call?
Yeah.
So
you're a monster. So there's something going on.
She
in her
calls
world.
And talks to her either brother or sister. I'm guessing it says don't ever fall in love because things have kind of fallen apart. And then the mom gets on the phone and says
you're
don't
monster.
Ever call her, you monster.
And I wonder if that's because of her sexuality.
So that is the. So this is the question that I was going to bring up here. So we see that she has these anger issues that are definitely heightened by the steroid usage, but I think there is something maybe underlying. And so I think the question is, and maybe the audience is supposed to debate this, or you're not quite sure, did she leave home because of her sexuality, her bodybuilding, or something violent? And I don't know the answer, but she has some
and those things can be commingled. That
sure.
can
they
be
could.
That Absolutely. Can be an overlap in a Venn diagram that like her sexuality was not received well. combined with the fact that that makes her upset,
right?
Combined with the fact that she's, and that if she was kind of pre-bodybuilding, if she slapped somebody, that's going to be a lot different than post-bodybuilding.
Post-bodybuilding and jacked up on steroids.
Yeah. Right. So, clearly she had some kind of troubled home life, and that's why she ran away from home and she was sleeping out under an overpass and didn't have anywhere to go. But, I tend to think that my read on it was more the sexuality. So even though she's big and strong and all that, and they call her a monster, but my kind of read was, it was a commentary on, you know, family kicking you out because of your sexuality.
I don't think you're off.
But it leads it up to the viewer to interpret why she's calling her a monster and don't come around here.
Right. So while Jack's in jail, she calls Lou.
Who, meanwhile, Miss Baryshnikov
has moved in.
Yeah.
Big time.
She's basically like got her at gunpoint. You know, she's like,
not here, because they're at each.
Well, but she knows she saw her around the truck. So,
right.
So you know that she's using that against her to move in. You know, she's
going to.
She's leveraging.
Yeah, she's leveraging.
Yeah.
So Jack calls Lou and Daisy answers and says, don't ever call. She doesn't want anything to do with you. Don't ever call here again.
Yeah.
So now Jack has lost, we've got the family thing. We've lost this woman that she loves. And now she's stuck in jail. Again, this scene is super weird because Daisy's like butt-ass naked in the kitchen, like dancing around. I was like, man, this is strange. Like, it's very weird. So Ed Harris shows up at jail and gets Jack out.
She calls the only other person she knows that has money.
And he shows up. Oh, is that
right? Does she call him? See, I figured he
knew. I took that as the cop.
I took it as she didn't know who else to call, and so she called her boss.
Okay.
See, because them and they're like your guardian angels here. I thought that he showed up because he wanted to use her. So he's like all.
I thought he showed up because the cop from wherever they are.
Yeah,
called and said, "Hey,
the guy on his payroll or whatever." Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
She goes with Ed Harris, and they have a really good discussion in the car, a really good scene together. And he basically says, "You are free and clear," and gives her a gun with a silencer, and you need to like call me when it's done.
Well, he's like, "You guys need my help." She's gonna leave.
You've bungled this so bad.
Yeah, he's like, "I'm here to help you guys. Right. I want to help Lou. So if you want to help her too," but yeah, he gives her a little assignment.
This was a really good double.
That was good.
A twist where I was like, "Okay, so they're gonna kill Lou," but that wasn't the plan at
all. Yes, I thought he was giving her the gun to take out Lou at this point too. There was some kind of read on that, like.
So this is the scene in the diner with Daisy and Lou, where Daisy's just like, "This is what I saw."
Another diner scene where they talk about crimes in the open.
Yeah.
I just cannot stand going to a public place. I know in a movie it looks cool, but imagine being the person in the booth right behind them overhearing this stuff. You know, I mean, you're talking about crimes. You know, I called them and told them that she killed him. This, I'm like,
shut up.
I just hate that.
Shut up.
In a movie, but it's a good movie, so it didn't ruin it for me.
Right.
But,
right.
It is a bummer.
So basically, Daisy says, "I know all of this. I know you were in JJ's car the night he died. I know, you know."
And she's good. You got to give it to Anna Baryshnikov. She is creepy and menacing.
All of the above.
The blackmailing her, the way that she says these things, like, you know, the first thing she says, like, "That's interesting that I saw her around." Like, she totally manipulating her and everything. And then is you know, pulling these strings behind the scenes and saying, like, "I'm going to tell the cops that I saw her." And this is where Christopher's like, "You don't want to do that because then they'll connect me to her.
It'll be a big mess." She's like, "Oh, my God, I didn't even think about that. I'm so sorry." So we go back to Kristen Stewart's place, and they're having, you know, this gal, you know, they're about to walk inside. This gal pukes. And then this is a great scene where it's shot from Daisy's POV.
Yeah.
And we see Kristen Stewart kind of start to turn around.
Kristen Stewart opens the door.
All of a sudden,
then
there's just like a blood splatter all over the place. And you're just like, "What the fuck?"
And then it cuts to Jackie standing there.
Well,
with
it's
a
like,
gun.
I think Daisy falls.
Yeah. It's,
and there's Jackie behind Daisy with a gun. And
then
she takes off and runs. And I do, again, this is kind of very Coen Brothers-esque, where now Lou goes into cleanup mode again, yeah, where yeah. she's like pulling Daisy into the apartment.
Yes, it's that dark comedy where now she has to clean up this mess.
And you've got the feds knocking on her door.
Yeah, she has to hide a body while the feds are there.
The cat is licking the blood off the floor.
And they show that earlier. The cat will go up to any food and or whatever and get into it. And so now the body's there.
Right.
So, you're right. I mean, this is why it feels like early Coen Brothers. And
this is what I'm saying.
They out-coned the Coen brother. Did. You
the
know,
brother.
They,
yeah. So she calls Ed Harris. She's like, get her out of this. What the fuck are you doing? Like, you tried to have me killed. She's like, I didn't. He's like, it wasn't
you.
No,
at this point, Ed Harris has kidnapped Jackie.
No.
Yeah. When she talks to Ed Harris.
Is that right?
Remember? Because then he's like.
Because she does run away and she goes back to the house. You're right.
Because he's like, I'm going to clean this up for you. He's like, listen to me this time. I've got it under control. We're going to plant this on her.
You're
this
right.
And then that's when Krista Stewart, she stands up to him and goes, no, I'm going to tell the feds everything, this, that, and the other. And he goes, that was dumb or whatever, and hangs
up.
Well,
I think the line that got a laugh in the theater is she lays everything out, and he goes, are you blackmailing me? And she goes, yep.
Yeah, there's this long pause. She goes, yep. She's like, yep.
Yeah.
And then he goes,
that got a very good reaction in the theater.
And that's when he says something like, that was dumb.
That was dumb. And click. Hangs up.
Yeah.
So
he's got Jackie now. She's got a dead body and has to go after them.
Right. And now the cop shows up. The cop that is
The
cop that
is
on.
That's when Ed Harris says,
Ed Harrison's the cop.
Go take care of her.
And she, you know, she's lived this. And this is what I like about, it kind of reminded me of, what was that awful, awful Max Landis movie with Jesse Eisenberg?
Also
with Kristen Stewart,
American Ultra?
Yeah.
Yes.
American Ultra.
Where?
Can't believe I remembered that.
That was impressive. But yeah. Kristen Stewart's in that, right?
Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart. I've never
terrible
seen it.
Terrible movie. What? Is it? We did an episode on it.
Wasn't there?
Oh. Lucky
never
son
seen
of,
it.
Lucky son of a bitch.
Yeah, I don't support Max Landis
movies.
No, he's
the
I guess you're kind of a big fan, but.
He made one good movie. Chronicle is a good movie.
And that Superman YouTube video was good.
Okay, that's fair. But. The epitome of
I know, which is a bummer now.
Waking up on third and thinking you hit a triple. The premise of that movie is Jesse Eisenberg is a double agent that he doesn't know.
They get activated.
Yeah, and all of a sudden he's got all these skills that he didn't know he had. This
another
is kind
Manchurian
of similar.
Candidate knockoff.
Yeah. This is kind of similar where we kind of know that Lou has these skills.
Right.
That's
that
what
she
I'm
used
saying.
To work for her dad.
Yeah, that's
right.
What I'm saying. As you see with from her little dreams and everything, you're like, she's.
Her hands
knows more
clean.
Than she lets on. Yes,
she's been a part of this world.
She's clearly like retired now and trying to do her own thing. But the dad did try to pull her in.
Yes,
and probably also alludes to why she's basically Lou Jr. You know, he named her Lou.
Right.
Wanted someone to carry on in the business. She's like, this isn't for me. And
this is not. Yeah.
And then when the mom left, it was like
she. I guess it sounds like Lou kind of booked as well.
Yeah. Well, because she thinks he killed her, so
I guess
it's like
that's
a step
she didn't
too
book too far because the dad owns the
owns
gym.
Owns the gym.
Right. Like,
she still needs him, even though.
Well, she does say, though, I stuck around for you, for
that's
Jenna
true.
Malone.
That's
like,
true.
I'm staying because JJ was
but
going to kill
you. But she didn't get a job somewhere else.
That is true.
Right? Yeah. Like, she got a job
she's still
at the
using
gym.
The gym that
using
he owns.
Using her dad's gym. Yeah, right. The cop shows up at Lou's place, and there's a shootout, and Lou ends up killing the cop. And in my head, I was like, just stop what you're doing. Now you've got two dead bodies. That one killed that one. And now you're done. Like, just leave it alone.
She doesn't have the gun, though. It wouldn't match.
Both guns.
No.
Jackie
ran off with the gun, so the ballistics wouldn't match, and it would be fishy still.
And Daisy was shot from behind.
Behind. Yeah, that's true.
Glad I can teach you these cop things.
All right.
We're here to help.
Thanks. So,
let us know if you have any other questions.
I will, yeah.
We've learned everything we know from movies. We're pretty good.
So you're supposed to say
back
you have
the
right to remain silent.
Yes. Whatever you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
So she goes to the dad's
and I do like this is
hideout.
Again, this is a funny scene where
Scarface Mansion.
Yeah, but where Ed Harris's wife is getting in the car and she's like, you ruin everything. And then like, as Lou is about to go in and kill her dad, it's just this random line where the mom's like, ugh, you're such an inconvenience.
You're the worst.
So then we run into Jenna Malone is in the house and her face is still all. And again, like it does. This is.
She knows, right? The dad told her that she killed.
Of course. Yeah. But at the same time, Lou was like, he was going to kill you. Like
my wife was saying, she's like, it's so odd the way this movie is constructed in that the only true victim in the film is the sister. and she's the one you have the least amount of empathy for. Yes. You're just like, oh my God.
That's a great call.
But she's also very much a victim. She's damaged. She's brainwashed, right? Yeah. She's a battered woman who is like, oh no, she's the father of my children and this. And oh no,
he didn't mean it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's sad because she's clearly.
But then you get a look at the real Lou, where Jenna Malone, I don't remember the character's name, but Jenna Malone won't tell Lou, Kirsten Stewart, where Jack is.
Yeah.
Won't do it. So,
Lou Jr.
Yeah.
Beth.
So Beth.
Yeah.
Beth. Bethany or Beth?
Beth.
Okay. So Lou like lunges at her and grabs her face where it's all messed up. Like,
right.
And holds it.
Love you, sis. That was a good line.
That's another great line.
It's like, she's still our sister.
Right.
She just beat her up. Well, love you, sis.
I think the love you, sis is kind of like a big old F you.
I don't know. It was funny, though.
It's a great line. Because she does. She grabs her by the face and like pushes her down.
Where is she? Oh, she's in the guest.
Corn something.
The guest house or whatever.
So we run down there and we see that Jackie's all tied up and they start to untie her. And
she goes, oh, I like this.
Well, this is what I like is, like, instead of immediately going back to Lou, she's like, I'm out of here.
Right? This family's crazy. I do like that, right? You've been tied up. What's your first instinct? Hang around or bolt?
The one that's going to turn
GTFO.
On you. You think the one that's going to turn on you, right? Like, this is her dad. She's not going to protect me.
Yeah.
And I do like that Kristen Stewart's like, I'm with you. Like,
she jumps up on her back.
That's this is where, like, it oddly becomes this strange,
it's a dark comedy,
wacky comedy, where that's the "I love you, sis" line. It's her jumping on Jackie's back, trying to drag her down. And
but to me,
it fits.
It totally fits. Yes. Whereas Driveway Dolls, none of it fits. It all feels just very mismatched tonally, and it's not funny. And they think they're just doing the most amazing.
They really
thought they were cracking the jokes, and people were.
This makes that movie so much worse.
Oh, it does.
It really does.
This is so good. But it's funny. But it's that dark humor that blends in with this seedy Coen brother noir world.
Yeah.
But she talks to her and she's like, I'm going to protect you.
We're going to figure this out. Yeah. She's like, please just listen to me. There's a back road this way. You go that way. I'm going back in there to finish this. We're going to get it done. So she goes. Jackie takes off. Lou goes back into the house. Ed Harris shoots her in the leg and
puts his hand in the bullet hole. Finger in the.
Oh, that was not enjoyable. But this is the scene where I was like, what the fuck?
So but Jackie hears a gunshot and she turns around
and she turns into she starts to Hulk out. Yeah. I literally mean she starts to she tears out. What we see is she tears out of her clothes and she's getting bigger, muscular and bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden.
So to me, the way I read that in my artistic interpretation of it is that she's been using drugs and bodybuilding to become a bigger person and kind of running away from her family and her troubles. Using working out to be bigger, but she turns around to save the person she loves and is actually becoming a bigger person. And this is a visual metaphor of her.
I think all of that
being
is fair.
Bigger.
I don't disagree with you.
Because it clearly doesn't happen. She gets her in the car afterwards. She's normal size. But
they don't go running through the clouds.
Yeah, we're visualizing. And then Kristen Stewart, Lou, is seeing the woman she loves come and save her. She's larger than life to her.
Yes,
and
you are absolutely right in all of that. Yeah. But in the moment of watching it, what is happening?
Here?
It almost took me out of it. Like
it did take me out.
I was very close until I started. I was like, okay, this is just a visual.
But it's A24, and they do weird stuff. And they've been alluding to it the whole movie with her getting bigger and the muscles growing.
And that whole scene of her running is in the trailer.
We'll see, and that is why I'm glad I didn't see the trailer, because I went back to watch it for the darkness issue.
Sure.
I'm like, look at how much stuff. They show the last scene of the movie all throughout that trailer, because, you know, they show the dead body getting up in the car, in the truck.
Oh, did they?
Of whatever her face. They show the in the truck is like a funny moment in the trailer, but it's like in the theater, I'm like, oh my God, she's still alive. Like,
it's a funny moment in the movie,
I figured
too.
It was either she was still alive or it was a poorly made movie, because you can see her breathing
when
she's laying on the floor of the living room
that was a surprise in the theater, and I would have been pissed if I'm like, oh, I already knew she was gonna do that. Like, I don't know, trailer
they do,
and the running away thing is such a big visual, like, what the hell is going on thing, like, why is that in the trailer? Like, I don't know,
that's wild.
It's a bummer. But
so she's like, the feds are coming, like, they're on the way. So the feds do show up. Ed Harris is caught. Our two main characters are driving away, and then this is the scene where we do know that Jackie has, or they have put Daisy in the back of this truck, and this is Pulp Fiction. So I had just seen Pulp Fiction at the Draft House because I've never seen it on the big screen before, and it was great. They had a big.
Did they have a menu? Did they have the Big Kahuna Burger? And
oh, you
stuff?
Think I didn't eat it?
Oh, was it good?
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. What about a Royale with cheese?
That's always on the menu.
That's always on.
Yeah.
The, okay.
they have the metric system over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we see the carpet start to move, and Lou's like, "Come on, no way." So they go back there, and of course, and
Jackie's passed out from her experience.
Correct,
right?
She's gone. She is out of the rest of this. She's there, but she's not.
But
there.
It is funny that Jackie's the big strong one, and Lou's the one always cleaning up things and dragging right. bodies around. I do think that's just visually a very funny.
This got a massive laugh in the theater until the thing happens, where so they pull the truck over. Jackie gets in the back of the truck, and we see that Daisy's still alive. And there's this part does not. It's the part after this that gets a laugh.
She suffocates her,
chokes her out.
Yeah. Doesn't even think twice.
She's
like, this is a problem that needs
this
to go
is bad.
Away. You are more of a problem alive than dead.
Yeah, and also, right, she's been blackmailing her and stuff. So I don't think she thinks. She's been bugging her, and now she's blackmailing her. So she's like,
so the scene that gets a laugh, and what I love about this is they do it over the credits.
Right, yeah,
I think it's great. So
she stops and lights up a cigarette and is like, oh my God, I'm exhausted.
She's dragging Daisy.
This is never going to end.
That's kind of the feeling that I got.
Yeah.
She's dragging Daisy into the desert, and then she keeps dropping her, and she's like, God damn it. And then the credits roll.
And I like how it's filmed, right? Don't you see Jackie in the car, but it's like filmed through the car or something.
It's filmed through the driver's side window. And, yes.
Yeah. That's good.
And that's how this movie ends with the credits.
I started walking out, but then there was still more credit stuff of her holding
dancing.
Her or something and dancing.
Yeah, and like a red and black silhouette.
But yeah. Yeah.
This is great.
It's good.
It's fantastic.
I really enjoyed this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the her becoming giant-sized woman at the end kind of, I was like,
I
don't like that.
I get it.
I felt like it didn't need it. It was working so well. Like, it didn't need that moment for me.
It also, the movie itself, with the exception of like the trippy scene on the stage, there is none of the A24 stuff until we get to here. And I was like, man.
It's just those two scenes. It's her really throwing up. I mean, aside from like the creepy vibes of the whole thing, but like the stage throw up and then the big thing.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just a pretty straightforward like
crime thriller.
Thriller,
like noir,
dark comedy.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. This is fantastic. This is the first like good movie I've seen this year. I feel like it's been a bad run.
We've been on a bad run.
I don't remember
what all we've seen this year, but it's
I love Dune, and then didn't we see another one I liked?
There was something
Argoyle I enjoyed but wasn't great. What did we watch that I talked about where I'm like, oh, finally a movie? Maybe
there was something. No, there was one.
Was there one?
I don't remember what it was.
God, it all blurs together.
It's all been surrounded by
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21, and on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon at patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Violet kills Caesar. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.